Father, we praise you. We thank you for your word tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, that you open our ears and our eyes to see and hear what you have to say to us tonight, God, that we can go to another level because your word brings light. Your word, Father, brings light. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. I want to talk to us tonight about getting from here to there. Amen. Say, okay, what are you talking about? Getting from here to there. Here is right now, right where you're at. There is where God wants to take you. But you're not going to get there until you get what you need to get here. I know we have several of you in the school district here, and you know very often if a child does not apply himself or a student, he doesn't become, you know, you can be in class and not be a student. How many of you know that? You can sit in church and occupy a seat but not be developing. And you can do that in class. You can do that in anything. You can go to workshops all day long and sit there. But if your heart's not open to be a student, you're going to walk out and not receive any of the benefit. So, you know, so often schools just get tired of the same person flunking a grade. And they'll go ahead and pass them. Just get them out of here. We have school districts that do that all over the place. Just pass them. I'm tired of seeing their face, you know. How many times do you need to go through the fifth grade, kid? You know, instead of taking the time to work with them, they just want to pass them off. But you know what? God loves us enough, he's not going to do that with us. He's not going to do that with us. Recently, Pastor said, God's not going to let anybody slip into heaven doing it their way. If he did, his word is of no effect. But God is a God of his word, and he's a stickler for his word. And the sooner we learn that God honors his word above all other things, the more value we're going to place on this word and start hooking them up and getting with it. Amen? And I know in life we have things, we see things that we believe God wants to do with us. He wants to take us, and he shows us increments, shows us things. But we've got to learn to get there. It's not an overnight thing. You know, it would be ridiculous to take a kindergartner and a parent come into a high school and tell them, I demand you give my child a high school diploma. I demand it. The school would look at them and say, you're nuts. This child hasn't passed. This child is not ready for this. This child has not developed. But so often we want God to do things for that us like that, but we have not walked it out with him to get there. And God is interested in our development more than anything else. Amen. Many of you know that, you know, the story of Exodus, of Moses taking the children of Israel out of Egypt, and how they saw wondrous things, mighty things. But you know that the plan of God started in a desert, started in the wilderness. Moses was in exile. A lot of people think, well, I'm in a dry place. I'm in a hard place right now. I wish you'd just get me out of this place, God. I wish you'd just get me out of it. Why can't I go on to the next thing, God? Why? And you know why? Usually the reason is because there's that one thing or a couple things God's dealing with you about. And he's dealt with us and dealt with us and dealt with us about it. We know us better than anybody else. But you know, Moses was in exile from Egypt. You know, he'd killed an Egyptian soldier, had got angry, and he got scared, and he fled. We knew he grew up in Pharaoh's house. But he began to see the abuse and everything on the children of Israel. He got angry. He killed the Egyptian soldier, and he leaves. And he goes off, way off into the wilderness, and he meets a woman, gets married to her. And while he's shepherding, God begins to talk to him. You know, you didn't just see their plight, Moses, for no reason. I let you see their hardship so that you could deliver them. And God had to come to him in a wilderness. We say there's nothing I can get in this hard place. Nothing I can get. You can get the vision of God in the wilderness if you will have ears to hear. God will give you assignments in the wilderness. Did Jesus not get some assignments in the wilderness? Well, God came to Moses and told him, "What I want you to do, Moses." And Moses said, "I can't do that." You know, and Moses said, "I stutter." You know, they say Moses had a stuttering problem. He said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And he may said, "Who shall I say?" You know, he may have had a real problem. But do you notice God said, "It's not your word." I love this. The Lord said this to me the other day. He said, "It's not your word in your mouth that's going to do anything anyway. It's my word in your mouth." He was looking at his ability. We've shared it before. Reinhard Bonnke said the Lord told him one day, "My word in your mouth is as powerful as my word in my mouth." Oh, there's so much right there. Moses went with the word of God in his mouth. You remember the valley of dry bones? Remember Elijah? God said, "I'm going to put my word in your mouth. I'm going to tell you what to say and speak to these dry bones. It's not your word that's going to cause them. It's my word in your mouth." And God is telling us the same thing right now. If you will learn my word and begin to speak my word is what's going to deliver you. My word is what's going to set you free and take you from this place to the next place. But we have to learn what we got to learn right here. No passies. So, you know, God does all these wonderful things. He brings them out of Egypt. I mean, he shows them how he can split a Red Sea. I mean, nothing is hard for God. Nothing. There's not one thing that's hard for God. And they come up, you can look at Exodus chapter 17. Here they've seen God, you know, they've seen the plagues, they've seen the death angel, they've seen the water turn to blood, they've seen the plagues of frogs, all these different things. They've seen how God worked on their behalf to deliver them, split the Red Sea, swallowed up Pharaoh's army. And then he tells them, "I have a place I'm taking you that flows with milk and honey." He gives them something to look forward to. But in the meanwhile, he provides for every step of the way. And coming up, chapter 17, verse 7. We know that the children of Israel came to Moses and they were griping and complaining, "We don't have water. What are you going to do? Did God lead us out here? Did we follow you out here to just dry up? It was better back then. What are you doing?" And they begin to complain. Now this is something, it's not that Moses did not know they needed water. I mean, he was right there with him. I'm sure Moses went, "I'll go talk to God." Moses knew they needed water. But Moses was interested in knowing God's ways. All they wanted was the benefits. That's all they wanted was the benefits. But God's whole purpose through the wilderness and from Egypt to the promised land was to teach the children of Israel his ways. Now, these were people under the Old Testament who were not born again. Their spirits were not born again, reborn, made new, alive unto God. If God could teach them his ways, the Bible says Moses knew God's ways, but the children knew God's acts. So if God can show the children of Israel and Moses and all of them in the Old Testament his ways, and they were not born again yet, their spirit had not been revived, made new unto God, and brought back in perfect fellowship with him, how much more should we know God's ways? Amen? God wants us to know his ways. So you find yourself in these deserts. The first thing we often do, we start questioning, just like they did. We start questioning. Why? Why am I still here? What am I doing here, and what are you going to do about it? How many of you ever said, God, you got to do something about it? I mean, I've been in a wilderness place before where I blamed everybody. You know, I'd blame the devil one day. I'd blame God the next day. Now, I didn't just, you know, come right out, but you don't say, I blame you for this, God. But I had an attitude toward him. I guess I am the only one who's ever done that. And then the next day, I'd be mad at him. The next day, I'd be mad at me. That's the devil's ploy in the wilderness, is to get you questioning and angry at everything but him. Address him, not everybody else. Now, I'm not saying sometimes you might need to address your little old self. Amen. But the end result, I remember the Lord told me, he just flat out asked me one day, so when are you going to decide who to blame? He asked me that. Has he ever asked you that, Roger? He said, when are you going to decide who to blame? I said, dear God, I need to make my mind up, don't I? Because once I make my mind up, then I can start working on the solution. How many of you know the best thing to do is find out where the blame needs to go? Over in another part, it says the children of Israel went around this one mountain, said, went round, around, around this one mountain. And God said to Moses, ask him, how long are you going to go around this mountain? How long? How long are you going to keep going down around this one? Go north. Get out of this rut. Deal with what you got to deal with and start moving forward. Amen. They're not unlike us. And we're not unlike them. But they're at that place where we know Moses went over and he did. God told him what to do. To get water. Thank God for Moses. I mean, he just, you know, very often he had just had to continually be the mediator. Moses was a picture of Jesus leading us out. Did you know that? He was a type and shadow. And Moses just kept the heart of compassion for these people. There were a couple times he got angry. He came down, broke the Ten Commandments. But it was a righteous anger. Remember when Jesus cleaned the temple out with a premeditated whip that he fashioned, but he did it for the kingdom's sake. Amen. Glory to God. But do you know, in the wilderness where Moses is putting up with all this, I don't know if God gave him the actual picture. Moses, you are going to be a type and shadow of the Messiah. How big his assignment was. Do you think Moses knew? Moses, on July 30th, or is it the 30th, 2015, in Laredo, Texas, they'll be talking about you, Moses, and how you were a type and shadow of Jesus leading sinners out from Satan's grasp. But Moses saw enough, and he obeyed God. So he got his vision, and he stayed with it. When the murmuring and the complaining started, Moses stayed with it. One time, God was so fed up with him. He was fed up with him, and Moses mediated and got God to remember his covenant and his compassion toward him. Aren't you glad Jesus did that for us? Amen. He was our mediator. So we know, don't complain. In a wilderness, the number one thing we need to stop and say is, if this is a wilderness, is this of my doing? Is this of God's doing? And whoever's doing it is, what can I learn right here? What do I need to adjust? If I see that I'm getting agitated, if I see I'm getting aggravated, if I say I'm saying the wrong things, I'm declaring the wrong things, I'm feeling hopeless, it's obvious. Whatever comes to the surface in you in a wilderness is what you need to deal with. It's not hard to figure that out. Doesn't the Bible say out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? What are you saying in a wilderness? Because your mouth is expressing what is bothering you in the wilderness, or what you are believing God for in the wilderness. I remember one time when I was, and we grow into the things of God. We want to just get to the end so fast, but it can't happen because God has to deal with us. The sooner we apply ourselves and the more steadfast we are, the more we'll see the end result. One time I was in junior high, and I was walking home from school, and this gal decided she wanted to pick a fight with me. She didn't like me. She was several grades older than me, didn't know me. She just didn't like me. And she was with the bikers. She was with a group of bikers. They were not high school age either. They were out of school. And they were walking with her, and they started following me and my friend, Christina Ballesteros. And I thought, you know, Christina was a tough girl, and she'd be there with me. Well, as soon as this girl came up, started all this stuff, you know, I didn't know where Christina went. You know, and I'm like, you know, I'm sharing this for a reason. So, you know, I wasn't looking for a fight. I was minding my own business, you know. I was complacent, happy, just walking home. And here she came, and she started, you know, mouthing off to me. And I just said, you know, well, and I'd hand my book to my friend, and I'd say, just hold this. And I'd say, if you want to fight, you know, then fight. Because, I mean, one thing about my family, we were scrappers. But I wasn't looking for a fight, and I didn't go around looking for fights. So anyway, I was like, just leave me alone, do something, or leave me alone, you know. And, of course, I didn't want to fight everybody with her. I'm not stupid. So she just wouldn't, you know, she would never just make the thrust at me or anything. She just kept mouthing off. Well, the next thing I know, my sister right above me found out that this was going on between me and these group of people there on a main highway, main road in Phoenix, Arizona. And my sister right above me comes running around they have canals and irrigation there. And she came around there and made her way through a little dirt path. You know, she got up right in this lady's face or this young girl's face and was, you know, telling her, you leave my sister alone. She was more aggressive than me, you know. She was just a step above me aggressive. And that was fine, you know, it kind of stirred, you know, or alerted this gal up a little bit, but it didn't stop her. Well, in just a second, my sister above that one, she came running across the busy road, cleared the canal. She didn't go around it. She jumped over it. And when her feet landed, she was hitting that girl, and I mean just beating the thunder out of her. She didn't ask her a thing. She stopped it. I mean, she just beat the thunder out of her. Well, this girl's telling this older biker chick that was with her, you know, Mary, get her off of me. Mary, get her off of me. And Mary's just standing there trying to decide if she wanted to get her off of her or not, you know. And so, you know, just kept getting a little more agitated. Of course, my sister was taking care of this one. But all of a sudden, my mama strolls across the road. We lived about 4 blocks from there. Come to find out later on, one of our friends saw it happening, and she was in track and ran home and told my family. And my mom's sisters were home, so that's how they made their way up there. Well, my sisters walked and ran. My mom strolled. I mean, I'm sure she walked fast enough. But when my mom got there, she just walked up there, and she didn't have to say a thing. My mama didn't have to say a thing. As soon as she walked up there, I mean, the oldest ones were, we're sorry, Miss Jarrett. Your name's Miss Jarrett, right? We're sorry, Miss Jarrett, that this happened. We'll gather her right now. We're leaving, Miss Jarrett. My mom didn't say anything, but just her presence let them know this better stop, and it better stop right now. My mom didn't have to do a thing. Well, from me to my mama, there was a big difference. I was, you know, minding my own business, complacent, you know, whatever. But my mama knew how to take care of business and how to arrest a situation. And in the things of God, we think we're ready for the biggest things that come sometimes, and we're not. Because we've not taken the steps of growth to get there. And it's all up to us. All up to us. God wants us to know His ways. He wants us to know that we carry an authority with us. Do you know when He told the children of Israel, I'm leading you to a land flowing with milk and honey, a promised land. It's yours. Do you know that the promised land was stationary? It was there. It was not moving around. It was in a location that was fastened. They were making their way to it. But do you know what God did? God gave them an anointing to take it when he first told them about it. But they had to learn to walk in it. They had lived in Egypt. All they knew was to think like Egypt, walk like Egypt, talk like Egypt. Patsy Caminiti was an instructor at Rhema at one time. A pastor friend was telling Pastor Richard the other day about Miss Patsy talking about that's a problem with the church. They want to live in the world. And do you know there were children of Israel that were slaves, just like everybody else in Egypt, had the same opportunity to leave, but they did not want to follow God. They wanted the comforts of the world without the price of following God. So they stayed there, and the Bible says they died with the Egyptians. So not all the children of Israel left. And how many of you know during the journey, not all the children of Israel made it to the promised land? You know, after Moses, you read down in that chapter 17, after Moses told, God told him what to do to get water. Immediately after that, they're attacked by the Amalekites. And the first person God called for, told Moses to call for, was Joshua. Joshua was already marked by God as somebody who had faith. Joshua was learning God's ways in the wilderness. The other ones were complaining. He was learning God's ways. He was being a student in this desert class. And Joshua did exactly what God told Moses to tell him to do. And when he did, God told Moses, write it down and read it to Joshua. Let him know. This is marked forever. I noticed this, Joshua. And who did God call on later on to go in and spy out the land? Joshua was one of them. And he was one of the youngest ones in the group. But God saw faith in him in the desert. Not questioning, but faith. Isn't it funny how the children of Israel were always saying, let us go back? Do you know nothing kept them from going back? I mean, Moses could have looked at him and said, same way we got here is the same way you go back. Hope you figure out how to get across that sea. When we go backwards and we don't press into the things that God is drawing us to press into, and we start going backwards and shrinking back, what does the Bible say? God said, I take no pleasure and him who draws back. God is a faith God. He's always going to be challenging us to grow, to learn more, to press in. Always. Ephesians says that in the ages to come, we're going to be learning. And he's going to be showing us his kindness, showing us his ways. In the ages to come. We shared this last time, Brother Roger. You guys were on vacation. I'll share it again. There's a minister that we know of. His son passed away, had got sick and died, and came back and told his dad and the others what he saw while he had was, you know, out of his body. And he said he saw heaven. He said he saw many different things, glorious things. But he said he saw a huge, huge auditorium. And he said in the auditorium he saw, you know, different people in the Bible, you know, not Bible characters, but real people, you know, sitting there in the audience. And he said he saw John G. Lake sitting there and different ministers, you know, from more recent times. And he said that Brother Hagin was on the platform. And Brother Hagin was teaching this massive audience. And he said what he was teaching him was coming from the throne of God in him and going straight out to the people. What he was teaching them. And he said, you want to know what he was teaching them? He said he was teaching them how to operate in the ages to come. They are not sitting up there in heaven sipping lemonade all day. God is an eternal God. There are ages to come. So I want to learn what we need to learn, what he wants us to learn right now to get to the promised land. But we're going to have to do it by learning what we have to every step of everywhere we find ourselves. Where you find yourself right now, there's something to learn. Amen? You know, Pastor Richard and I, there's things we're learning right now. And when we set our heart, we're learning it. We're going to be good students. We see the end result. You know, he's preached on the vision that's in his heart. And he didn't just come up with it last week. God's been building this vision in him for years in his heart, in his spirit. God's been putting that in him. And I wonder sometimes why people get upset when a pastor shares his vision. I want to ask him, do you want a pastor that doesn't have a vision? I don't. I don't want to sit in a church where people don't have a vision, where they don't think God has something, you know, a purpose for them. Amen? It's important to be with people who have vision. And then people who stay with vision and encourage one another to stay with the vision. That's personally and corporately as a church. How many of you want to go where God has for you? God has things for us to do for his kingdom in these last days. He has things, great and mighty things. He said, inquire of me and I'll show you. I want to show you. You remember when Moses went up on Mount Sinai? It said it was all together on a smoke. It shook and quaked, and Moses was up there getting the Ten Commandments. And when he came down, God was angry. The children of Israel were gazing. They were just standing there watching. And the reason it upset God is because God said, God wanted them to want to know him. God wants us to know him. He longs for that. He doesn't want us just to know his acts and his benefits. God, he's not an ATM debit card, you know, an endless. God is a person. Yes, he's a spirit, but he is a person. He is a divine being who created us in his image with a purpose to know us. He wants to show us his ways. Hallelujah. And in this spiritual walk, this life, we're going to find all kinds of tests. But this is an open book test. Right here's your answer. We need to remember that. Anything that comes to me in this life, I've got the manual right here. Right here. I have the answer right here. I don't have to find out what to say in myself. I have to find out and put God's word in my mouth. Man, that should thrill us. It's easier than we've schooled ourselves that it's hard, but it's not hard. Glory to God. So what are we doing in the hard places? Are we going to stand there and question? Or are we going to start getting a hold of these situations by the word of God and changing them? Something that the Lord showed me today about the children of Israel before he could take them into the promised land. What, do you remember Leviticus? All the laws came. God's guidelines. God's structure for living, for community, for worship, for food preparation. All of these things God gave in the wilderness. You know why? He said, I'm not turning you loose in the promised land until you know how to live there and operate there. And there's things that we want God to do with us. We want God to take us. But he said, I've got to show you how to operate there. I can't just turn you loose in there with no knowledge and no wisdom. God doesn't want us to get over in the promised land and act like fools that don't know how to handle his glory. It's so much of the church today, they haven't seen the glory of God, felt the glory of God, or even know the glory of God exist. And he can't pour his full glory out. We have to know how to operate in it. We have to know how to reverence God and move with him. We want to know his ways. The heathen will come in and they'll know his acts. Amen? They'll know his acts. They'll see his hand. They'll be healed. They'll be saved. But as they come along, what does God want them to find out? His ways. Amen? How many want to know his ways? I want to learn what I have to learn, what he wants me to learn, so that I can enter the promised land. Glory to God. I don't find the wilderness or the hard places to be a place of despair. I find them as a place, my God, he's getting me ready for something. He's getting me ready for something. I'm going to learn what I have to learn. I'm going to be a student. I am not going to be rebellious. I am not going to flunk this class and have to take it again. Amen. And that's our decision. I want to pass. I don't want to just barely pass. I want to make straight A's. God wants us to grow up. Look in Matthew chapter, I believe it's chapter 11. Are you getting any kind of inspiration? Wow. Matthew 11:12 in the Amplified says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion." How many of you know you have a share in the heavenly kingdom? You have a share in it. You have a part of what God's doing today. But you're going to have to get on purpose, intent, exertion, zeal. Don't you love it, Gracie and Mitch and... Don't you love it when you have a student who's excited about learning in your class? Doesn't it just do something for you? You know, man, they're going to get it. They're going to get it. Why? Because they're not fighting. As long as we're fighting and complaining, we're not learning. When we have a resistant spirit, God cannot come in and pour his knowledge and wisdom into us. He can't do it. But boy, when you have a heart that you want to learn, and I'm a student, God, I'm your student, I want to learn. I want to learn how to act. I want to learn how to love. I want to, you know, the ways of the kingdom. I want to learn patience. I want to learn these things, Lord. I want these things. God gets so excited when we're hungry to learn. And if we're hungry to learn and we become a student, we're going to have a share. Glory to God. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Can we look back and say we've had an intense exertion about our walk with God all our life? I can't. Sometimes you can look back and you see you were farther along pursuing God harder than you were at other times. But boy, you know what? We can change it and we can stay with it. God is accelerating some things right now because time is short. Hallelujah. Miss Rachel Tifa Tiller was a little praying woman that we all got to meet and was blessed by her. And she said God gave her the gift of opening up prayer in people, showing them how to get over in the spirit and pray effectively. And I'm telling you, she could pray effectively. We'll play her videos shortly. But she said, because time is short, she said, these young people, and she was talking about teenagers and stuff, she said, if they're hungry to learn how to pray. And I mean, and she was talking about pray like her. She said, if they're hungry, God's going to get them there quick. Because we need it. Because it's needed. Amen. You know what? There's nothing to go back to. I'm not going back. I am not going back. You're going to have to stand against temptation. You're going to have to stand against all of these things that come against you to press on with God. But we can do it. Pastor Richard said one of the last times we were here, he said, this end time church that God has called us to be a part of, that you were born for right now. When you got born again, God downloaded in your spirit the ability to do your part. Now, he's not just going to switch it on and make you do it. But he put his ability in us to cooperate. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting to me. I see so much in that. Glory to God. We can do what he's called us to do. We can be what he said we could be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, I'm not going to miss my share in the heavenly kingdom. I'm not going to miss my share. I'm a student of the Word. I'm the student of God's ways. Amen. Are we students? I'm a good student. I'm an attentive student. Show me what I need to learn, Lord. And then your power is in me to help me walk it out and do it. You know, John the Revelator, he didn't get there in one day. He was called of God. He took up the call. He walked with God. He did things God wanted him to do, you know, walked with Jesus and everything. Later on, after all these great things, you know, I've heard people say this, if you have faith, you shouldn't be going through that. I want to tell them, have you read about the disciples and the apostles? Have you read about them? Have you seen the things that Satan threw at them to deter them? I mean, come on. The Bible says we have an enemy. In this wilderness, this world we're passing through, we have an enemy. And the more point on you are with the Word, the more Word of God you get in you, the more Satan's coming to distract you and detour you. That's where we say no. No, I'm not going to be distracted. I'm learning. I'm pressing on to the promised land. I'm going to let God write his word in my heart so that I will not sin against him and I can enter the promised land. You know, if David, remember David said in Psalms, he said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Well, they were not born again. If they had a heart toward God, but their heart was not born again yet. But if they could yield their heart under the old covenant to God and write his heart, his word in their heart to that level and not sin against God, we can do that when we are born again. We're under a new covenant, a new way, better promises, amen. Alive unto God. Made new creatures in Christ, brand new. Our hearts literally can have his word written in us. Not on it, but in us. Glory to God. I want to walk with God. I want to know his ways. I want to know his ways. I want to be able to hear his voice in this wilderness. And he wants us to, and it's not hard. The number one way we're going to hear his word is right here. It's to know his word. When we know his word, we've got what we need in the wilderness. Praise the Lord. But you know, talking about John, getting back to John, when he ended up being exiled, the island of, was it Patmos? You know, that would have looked like backwards. I've gone backwards. I've done all this stuff to obey you, God. I've done, you know, I walked with Jesus. I've been through all this stuff. I've been a faithful witness, a faithful testimony. I've given, I've done all these things. And here I am on the island of Patmos, exiled. But he didn't take that attitude of heart. He kept his heart right, and God gave him revelation. So don't tell me you can't learn in a wilderness. Don't tell me there's nothing to be had here. No, no, no. There's so much to be had, so much to prepare you for the next thing. Glory to God. Other people would have looked at John and said, oh, he's hearing voices and seeing things. And he was. He was hearing the voice of God and he was seeing things. If we'll just open ourselves up to God where we're at, he will teach us so much to get us ready for the next grade, for the next step. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bow your head with me. Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for your word, Father. God, we thank you that we can do all of these things that you've shown us in your word. Father, we can do it. Father, we can do it. I ask you right now, Lord, to forgive us where we've been complaining, where we've been murmuring against you, Lord, where we've been in disbelief or unbelief or distrust, Father. God, forgive us. Forgive us, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Father, right now I decide even more so I'm going to be a student of your word. God, I want to know. I don't want to miss what you have for me. I don't want to fail in the desert. I thank you, Lord. We're going to pass the test. We're going to do what you want us to do. And we're going to see as a church, all who will, we're going to see what you have for us, Father. We're going to that vision.